Father, we just come to you right now and you do reign. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fret. We don't have to be overwhelmed because you do reign. You are ruler. You are God. You are sovereign. You are good. You are the lover of our soul. You carry our burden. You smile at us. Jesus. Thank you. As a little girl, she would go to her room and sit alone, dreaming that maybe she was the one. Could she possibly be the one? Could she be the one that was chosen? Sitting in her room, daydreaming, going to bed late at night, wondering, could it be possible? For over 400 years, the prophecy had been told. It had been told by Isaiah that a woman would conceive a child, that a young girl would come and conceive of the Holy Spirit a child who would be the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that would set Israel free. Every young girl dreamed that they would be the chosen one. Every small little girl was told by their mother the story. For you see, the prophecy had been held down and passed on to every young girl. There wasn't a Jewish girl that didn't dream that she would be the one. But the day that Gabriel came to Mary startled her, for she was alone in her room, and Gabriel came and said, "Mary, chosen one, God has favored you among every woman, for you will conceive the anointed one." I can only imagine what this 12 to 14-year-old little girl thought. It's one thing to dream that God's going to use you. It's another thing when it becomes a reality. It's one thing when we ask God to do something with us. It's another thing when the angel comes and speaks and pours into you that you out of all of mankind, you out of every young girl have been chosen. I'm sure Mary was startled and stepped back and said, "How can this be? For I am young, I am poor, and I am from Nazareth. Nothing good comes from Nazareth of the Galilee. We are poor. How could you, the Son of God, come to me?" I'm sure there was a dialogue that took place between Gabriel, the angel, the Most High, the archangel of heaven, who came to her and spoke to her. I can only imagine in the intimacy of her heart, dreaming that this day might one day happen. Yet when reality came, she looked and said to the angel, "Gabriel, how can this be? For I am a virgin." You know, Mary, it has been foretold that it will be a virgin. You see, the Holy One of God will come and he will overpower and overshadow you, and you will conceive in your womb the Holy, the Anointed One, Almighty God. It was one thing, the Bible says, as she pondered this in her heart. It was another thing when she had to approach Joseph and tell Joseph that the angel had come to her. I'm sure Joseph coming home that evening, because Mary and Joseph at that time were betrothed to be married. They were engaged. They were setting a time aside to get married. You see, every young girl, once they had hit puberty, had an arranged marriage. It was time for them to get married and to conceive and have a family. And it only made sense that Joseph and she would marry. It was time to marry. I'm sure they were making plans of their wedding. I'm sure they were going to invite everyone from their hometown. I'm sure everyone was excited, but now something had changed. Oh, everything had changed for Mary. It's one thing to be told by the angel that you were going to conceive the Son of God, but it's another thing when the reality comes that you have to tell the very man that you're going to marry that you are now with child. Joseph, I'm sure, not understanding at all what was getting ready to happen, began to dialogue with her. The Bible is very clear to tell us that he even wanted to put her away. Can you imagine the very thing you want all your life to happen, to only be met with scorn and shame and ridicule and abandonment? For now, Joseph was confused. Oh, everyone knew the prophecy. You see, Isaiah had told it. Micah had declared it and decreed it, but it was now her reality. Oh, we're so quick to ask God to use us in a mighty way. And then when he does and reality hits and everything about our humanity changes, we second guess the very thing we ask God to do. The Bible is very clear to tell us that Joseph took Mary and he said, "You must hide away for some time." Making her way to her cousin's house, Elizabeth, who also was with child 6 months now, which would be the cousin of Jesus, John the Baptist. The Bible is very clear to tell us the story. As Mary walked into Elizabeth's home, the Bible says she was greeted by her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says, "What is this that the mother of my Lord would come into my home? For my very baby leaped within my womb the moment you walked in here." You see, Mary was carrying the anointed child of God. Mary was carrying our Messiah. Mary spent some time there with her cousin Elizabeth, but then she had to be put away. For you see, gossip had started. Oh, women are so good at that. You see, they also knew the prophecy. But why Mary? Mary, have you heard? They're not even married, and she's pregnant. Oh, she claims that it's the Son of God. She claims that she had a visitation from Gabriel. Who does she think she is? I can't imagine the scorn. 12 to 14 years old, this young girl had to move aside. The Bible is very clear to say she pondered these things in her heart. The Bible goes on to tell us then, we know the story, the Christmas story that we all love so dearly, that they made their way to Bethlehem. Prophetically, the book of Micah said Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. They had to leave Nazareth because of the census, and they made their way prophetically to Bethlehem. I can only imagine this 14-year-old little girl after giving birth to Jesus looking into the eyes of this anointed one. For you see, her understanding was that Jesus would come and he would be the Messiah for the Jews. He would be the one who would break the back of Rome and set them all free. I can only imagine that she thought she would be having a child like King David. He would sit on a royal throne. He is my son. I can go through all of this grief and all of this ridicule and all this pain because one day I will be justified when he sits on the royal throne. Only to watch him grow. Only to watch him like no other child she had ever seen. You see, I really don't believe that Mary understood who Jesus was. She understood that she conceived of the Holy Spirit. She understood that she was having an anointed child, but it wasn't until many years later so she started seeing that her son was not like any other child, not like any other son. I can only imagine what the home was like in that home. Can you imagine living with Jesus as your brother? Can you imagine what it must have been like for the brothers and the sisters of Jesus? But Mary watched. For you see, when Jesus was 12 years old and they were caravanning along, as the family left, Jesus stayed back at the temple. Mary, realizing that Jesus wasn't there, found her way back to the temple, only watching her 12-year-old son teach the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders. There was something in this child that she birthed, something that she had, and she began to watch. This was not just her child. This was the Son of God. Many years would happen, many years would come and go until Jesus was 30 years old. Watching him, training him, nursing him, loving him, raising him, only to let him go. At 30 years old, she watched the public ministry of her son Jesus. She would follow him along as he would begin to teach and love and lead. One day she was outside a meeting, and someone went inside and said, "Jesus, your mother and your brothers are here to see you." And Jesus turned and said, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Mary knew then something was different. Mary knew that she had given birth to the Son of God, but she had to release her child. Ladies, as I have walked through this, I realize that God gives us children to let them go. Mary had to let Jesus go, for he was the Son of God. She watched him, she listened to him, and then Mary had to have, just like you and I, a relationship with her very son. For you see, I believe that when Mary watched Jesus on the cross, everything hit home for her. The moment she saw her son on a cross, everything made sense. For this just wasn't an anointed child that would sit on the throne. This was a child that had to come and had to die. Mary had something that I believe God gave her because she was a chosen one. But you too have something that God has given you because you are chosen. I want to take a moment and I want to walk through this sheet on your seat. And I want to walk through a couple things with you. And these notes aren't in your handout, but I want to dialogue with you a little bit and walk through a couple questions that I never thought about Mary before. You know, it's funny how at Christmas time we can know the Christmas story and yet miss so much of the story. Miss so much of the life of this young woman who God chose only to see the old story. Let me ask you a couple questions here. The Bible tells us that Mary was highly favored. And as I sat and I pondered and I thought about Mary being highly favored, as I sat there, this was so cool, Holy Spirit said, so are you. Don't you love it when the Holy Spirit speaks to you? He said, Tammy, you are highly favored. And all of a sudden, I realized, let me give you a couple scriptures. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, 1 through 4, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them around the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. The Bible goes on and he tells us in Genesis 39, so Joseph found favor with God. In Exodus 33, the Bible says Moses found very favor with God and loved him dearly. Genesis 6, 8 says Noah found favor in God. It's so easy to read the story of Mary and think God favored her. You have to realize you are favored. God has given you a dream, he's given you a destiny, and he's given you an assignment. And lest we hold Mary up in high regard, like she is better than us, girlfriend, she's not. She had a different assignment, she had a different desire, and she was highly favored, but so are you. And that's what God wants us to know right now. It wasn't that Mary's here and you're here. All of God's children are here. You are highly favored. Doesn't that do something to you when you begin to embrace and you say, God has highly favored me? You know, it's funny because Erica just said, I love to say favor. I have started calling favor over my life. I look at this Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that I just gave you. Every morning I say it and I say, God, you have favored me. God, you love me. God, I'm your favorite. Don't you know your kids would say, I'm the favorite? Now, I have three children, and here's my middle son, Joshua. Many of you know he's preached here. Here's how he has labeled our children. He says, I know how it is, Mom. Jeremy is the most catered to. Jen is the most spoiled, and I am the most liked. Okay? You know how we do that? Like, I'm the favorite. You know you're the favorite. Start saying you're the favorite. I think God likes it. I think he likes it when you say, I'm your favorite, aren't I? See, when I start walking into that and decreeing it and declaring it and saying it, I start seeing it. I really believe that God loves me. I really do. Every time I don't, I think that's not a thought from God. The enemy doesn't want me to think I'm favored. The enemy doesn't want me to think I'm loved. The enemy doesn't want me to think I have purpose or destiny or dreams or desires. So anytime I, in my mind, think, how come nothing ever works for me? How come they get all the benefits? How come they get all the blessings? I stop immediately and say, Satan, you are a liar. You're not taking me down that road. I am highly favored. I want you to say, I am highly favored. I am highly favored. I think I'm higher. I'm sorry. I am highly favored. Step into it. He loves you. Mary, you are highly favored. Joseph, you are highly favored. Moses, you are highly favored. He walks through the list, and the list you can go through the Word of God. You're highly favored. He doesn't have any favorites. He is no respecter of persons. He loves every single person. And until you start seeing yourself, so look and just say, I am like Mary. I am highly favored. And begin to decree it and call it and say it. I also believe Mary pondered these things in her heart. She did not fully understand what God was about to do with her. Now, this is really a good thought. Sometimes we think that Gabriel came and he explained to her, and she goes, okay, I get it. She didn't. See, your walk with God is a journey. Now, listen to me. You don't understand. I don't understand. Today, I started working on a personal life map, and I went all the way back to my high school years. And I walked through what the choice I made here, which led to this choice. This is a good assignment. I'm going to actually do this with you sometime as a coaching assignment. So I started with Steve, my first fiance. You want to know that story, don't you? He was the preacher's son. All right, and he led me to college because I chased him to college and then broke up with him and met my husband. So Steve had to get me to Phil. The irony was Phil was his resident assistant. And Steve would write me and tell me how he couldn't wait till I got there and met his RA, who was the most godly man. Little did he know he would one day be my husband. That's a whole nother story, all right? But point A led me to point B. Now stay with me, right? And I get to college, I meet Phil. We get married, we go to seminary, which takes us to New Orleans. I have children in New Orleans, which we had a premature child that was 6 weeks premature, and we were in the best premature hospital at New Orleans Baptist Hospital, of anywhere in the United States. God had us there, and I was thinking, God, you put us there because you knew I would need that hospital for Jeremy. So I started doing that, and that led me here, which led me there. There was a sweet little man that loved my mama and my daddy, a great, great man of God in St. Louis, Missouri. We're in New Orleans in seminary. We graduate. You don't think my mom is working to get us back to St. Louis and get us home now with two little grandbabies? She gets a hold of this great theologian in St. Louis, and he starts doing searches for churches. Next thing you know, he finds one. So now he's getting hold of my husband, getting us back to St. Louis so I can be close to my mama with these grandbabies. Point A led to point B, point C, and point... Now listen, I sat back, and I'm holding this today, and I pondered my journey. Are you with me? I had to ponder. I didn't know what college was going to lead me to seminary, lead me to a church, lead me to another church, lead me to the East Coast, lead me to, you know, we were flying over the Twin Towers when they were hit. We were on the East Coast. God gave us a ministry during 9/11. Little did I know that. I want you to sit and ponder. Now listen, ponder what God's doing in your life. Do you know some of the greatest difficulties and heartaches of your life or doors of opportunity that God has for you? We look at this sweet little Mary. Do you realize how she had to ponder what she's getting ready to go through? I don't think we can understand the ridicule, the embarrassment, the shame. Can you imagine being put away? I can't imagine. Yet that led her to here, which led her to there, which led her to the cross, which led her to see her son. I want you to stop this week and hopefully this month while we're in this Christmas season and ponder the things of God in your life. Think about how God brought you from here to here to here to here for a reason. She ponders. We don't fully understand all that God is doing in our lives. Embrace the journey. I want to give you a couple verses that are so good. When God speaks to your heart, take time to ponder what it is that he is saying. I think she sat there and she said, God, what are you saying to me? There's so much more to spiritual application. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, the Bible's really clear. It says, however, as it is written, no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no human mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love him. Your mind can't understand it. Your eyes can't see it and your ears can't see it. Do you know God has a destiny for you that you can't even see? I don't know why God wanted us to start this church when we started the church. 4 years later, my journey as I was going through today, and I said, Holy Spirit, I met you because of Influence Church. And many of you know my story. Had we not been here, I don't think I would have had the divine connection in my story with the Holy Spirit. And I believe I had to sit and ponder my journey. I believe God has for me things to see, things for me to say, and things for me to do. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, the Bible says, for now we have seen only a reflection as it's seen in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. For now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am known. Mary did not understand. I really don't think she understood until the cross. I don't think she could comprehend at all who Jesus was until she saw her son die on a cross just like he had to for you and me. It hit. She birthed the Son of God so he could die for humanity. I believe that Mary had to receive Jesus in the same way that you and I have to receive him, and that is by faith. She had to simply see that she had a purpose for living just like you and I have a purpose for living. Hers was to conceive by the Holy Spirit, the divine living God, only to let him go and by faith accept him. The Bible is really clear that in John 19:25, it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, Mary, and Mary of Magdalene, and the other Mary. And when Jesus therefore had seen his mother and the disciples standing whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son," to John, "and to John, behold your mother." And from that point, the disciple took her as his own. Can you imagine what it would have been like to look into the eyes of Jesus on the cross and know that for 33 years, after birthing him, loving him, raising him, and releasing him, he had to die? You have to walk in that intimacy with Jesus Christ in a personal relationship with him as well. I believe that not only Jesus is the reason for the season, but Jesus is also the reason for your salvation. At Christmas, when we stop, and I love Christmas, lights and trees and festivities and fun, but could this Christmas be different for you? Could maybe this Christmas you not only embrace Jesus as a child, but you embrace him as your Savior? I really want us, before we get to our fun time together, to take a few moments and to move into communion tonight together. I want you to have some communion time with God. And we, in a moment, we're going to have some music. I want you, the tables are in the back, and I would invite you to take communion. But before you do, let me explain what communion means. Because unless you understand who Jesus is, not only in the cradle, but at the cross, you can't truly understand communion because you can't commune with him. Okay? Communion is communing with him. It means two becoming one, having conversation and intimacy and relationship. And as we take the bread, which is his body, and the cup, which is his blood, at Calvary, it was because of Christmas that we have Calvary. Amen? And so I want you to just close your eyes for a moment as I pray. And then as the music comes on, as you feel led, I'm going to ask you just to stand up out of your seat and to go back and to get some communion. And some of you may just want to stand in the back alone as the music plays. And I want you to contemplate the life of Mary, this young girl who requested something like every young girl did, to be the one that would birth the anointed Messiah. And when God answered her request, it was more than she ever dreamed. God, as we come and we look at the life of Mary, I've so enjoyed studying the scripture this week. I've so enjoyed trying to put myself in the place of this little girl who dreamed a big dream, and then it became a reality. And in my own heart, God, you said to me this week, "What are you dreaming? What do you want from me?" And God, I believe that you want our dreams to become reality. And with that, sometimes comes sacrifice and difficulty and discipline and obedience. But God, I pray that you will look upon your girls tonight. We are so highly favored in your eyes. You love us so much. You left your royal throne in heaven and you took on the form of a man. You became a child and a man so that you could die on a cross for us. God, just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would touch us as we take.
What child is this who lay to